Hey everybody, we got some exciting news. There's a brand new podcast coming from Nickelodeon that you can check out. Listen Out Loud, the Loud House podcast. That's right, Lincoln Loud and his sisters are starting their own podcast, and we're so excited to have them. So be sure to look out for Listen Out Loud, coming soon from Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon!
From Nickelodeon Animation in Burbank, California, this is the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast. Hey everybody, we're back for the brand new season of the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast, and we are so excited to be able to bring it to you. I'm Hector Navarro, the guy with the greatest job on the planet, and we've got an insane lineup of incredible animation talent for you this season. And to kick us off, we've got a real treat for you guys. Our guests are the voices behind The Leader, The Clown, and The Brawn from Team Neutron. Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, his best friend and guinea pig, Carl Weezer, and his other best friend an accidental interplanetary explorer, Sheen Estevez, led the lovable cast of characters from the Jimmy Neutron franchise. With us today are the supremely talented actors behind these unforgettable Nicktoons, Debbie Derryberry, Jeff Garcia, and Rob Paulson. Debbie, you were coming in and you were saying that your fans are on it today, that you teased that you were going to come in and do this record, and it's the Bring Back Jimmy fans specifically. The Bring Back Jimmy Neutron fans are like excited.
Yeah, the revival Jimmy Neutron fans. There's more than just a few of them, and they're crazy, and they're so excited, and then I get emails every day. What can I do? Make it happen.
Wow.
I'm like, well, it's not like it. I'm not in power.
Yeah, right.
But I would like to make it happen, and it would be super fun. I know all of us are on board.
Oh,
Jeff,
yeah, I'm on board.
Rob and Carolyn, everybody would just love it to happen again. You know, the script's ready. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
So, chomping at the bit they are, especially after the, there's a poll that was on, I guess, Nickelodeon's site, which show do you want to see revived?
Bring back.
And Jimmy Neutron was just so far above. It was like at
37%
or something.
Pretty significant.
And everything else was like,
amazing.
It was a huge significant jump.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's funny because I go out of town and I do comedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a stand-up comedian. That's how I make my living now. Thanks a lot, Nickelodeon, for firing me. No,
but if we brought back Jimmy, then you wouldn't have to leave town again.
That's my point. Well, no, I like getting out of town, but it's like, I went to the club and they put your picture up in the front of the club to advertise you,
sure.
Right? And they put from Jimmy Neutron. And the first time I ever did that. And I'm like, wow. Why are you doing that?
When was this?
About 2 years ago, 3 years.
Wow. Yeah,
they don't know what they're doing. They look at my credits and they put.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm like, I don't want people to. The first thought was, no, because I say I say bad words. Yeah. I don't want you to think that you're going to come in. I'm going to do, hey, hello, how you doing?
Yeah.
So, and it sold more tickets.
Yeah.
And people at the end were making me do it for their kids.
That's
or they're
right.
Making me do it for like their voicemails. I got about 20, you know, like Facebook and Instagram messages saying, is it 21 and over? Is it 18 and over?
Man.
I got a bunch of that. But I don't really mind it, you know, but that tripped me out. The show's still popular.
But, you know, our fans were, 4 or 5 years old, 5 to 12 when we started this show.
Yeah.
And so plus 16 years, they're having babies now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our fans are now parents.
Yeah.
It's kind of the pocket. It is the time.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised. There's people out there that they'll say, hey, man, are you doing any more Planet Sheen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you doing any more?
Guys, you would not expect,
amazing.
Right? You guys all have those stories. And have you guys done, like, the convention appearances
Comic-Con,
for Jimmy Neutron, Comic-Con? What is that stuff like?
Well, you know, we haven't had a Comic-Con. I just got asked yesterday if we would do a Jimmy Neutron reunion at a con.
Oh, yeah.
Palm Springs Con actually wants us there.
But, cool.
We go to cons individually, and I'd say the bulk of the people are, they walk by the table, and then they stop, and then they see, and they go, their jaw drops, Jimmy Neutron's a girl?
Yeah,
oh, and then it's always the same, pretty much verbatim. Oh my gosh, you have no idea. You were my childhood. No, you don't even know. No, you have no idea.
And I think you've got a little bit of an idea now.
Apparently
by now,
I do. Do you hear the conversation, Rob?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they're all genuine.
Yes.
Yeah. Jimmy, Carl, and Sheen are so great
with each other. There's such a great combination of different types of characters, and they're so funny and they work so well with each other. But why do you guys think that people have grown so attached to those characters specifically? Debbie, why do people love Jimmy?
Jimmy is, he's the nerd you can relate to, but also he is the straight man stuck in between these two brilliant, very funny. I mean, they were scripted, yeah, but they very seldom made it. You wouldn't know it was the script by the way they said it. I mean, seriously, these are two of the funniest people I've ever met, ever.
Well, thank
and
you.
You need to have a straight man in between, and yeah, there's Jimmy.
Oh, man.
Taking everything seriously, and well, it's Carl just, and Sheena
yeah,
cut
it's,
up.
It's just like yeah, the person that knows what's going on, and like the two people that are just walking behind. You know, you ever go like to a concert, and it's, yeah, our seats are up there, and there's this guy carrying a beer. You know, like he doesn't know, okay, we'll just follow her.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, no, it is a classic buddy show, mm-hmm, and they each have their own little lives and subplots, and Carl has an unhealthy affection for Jimmy's mother.
I thought you were going to say llamas. Yeah, I was like,
well, maybe llamas too, but also Jimmy's mom, which is, you know. I wanted to ask. In some states, it's a felony, but this is cartoon, so I don't care.
There's no jurisdiction.
Yeah. I just saw a movie called Luna. This is great. You ever seen Oedipus? No, it is.
I meant Lorenzo Lama.
Yeah, Lorenzo Lamas. Now you're talking.
Let's unpack both of those for a quick second here, Rob. Okay. First of all, I know the origin of his love of llamas, right? Mm-hmm. It was the show he was watching. But why did Carl connect with llamas so much? What was it about llamas?
It starts with L.
It starts with L, and I love it because Carl has a lazy L on purpose.
Well, that was in the movie that they put that, remember?
Yeah.
It was llama,
nani, nani, nani. It was my mom rubbing my tummy. But I wish it was Jimmy's mom.
We had the best directors and writers too, because if we would come in and just like be in a mood and just do something, and
yeah,
they kept it sometimes.
They
and
kept
I don't know
it.
Where they came up with this stuff. It was the yeah, writing was like the best writing ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jed Spingarn,
he's
great. An absolute, and he's done. You know, he's doing
so
the
much.
Thundermans for
right,
you guys, and he's been doing a lot of stuff. He did. What, the boy band one?
Rush. Yeah.
Big Time Rush.
Big Time Rush, that's right.
But I mean, I've known Jed for, you know, even before Jimmy Neutron, but boy,
weren't
is
you
he
on
talented. What's that?
Weren't you on Thundermans?
No, I did an episode of Big Time Rush.
Big Time Rush? Okay, yeah, that's what
you did, really?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you play?
I played a guy that was kind of like he's like a, what the hell is that guy? The guy that was ran for president, H. Ross Perot.
Oh, okay.
You let that horse out of the barn, you can't close it now, son. And it was one of those things. But Jed is just, oh, God, every
they
script.
All were. They were all great.
All the yeah, people wrote, Steve Banks,
no,
all the
so
people
much.
That wrote.
Steve Banks, yeah. Awesome.
Crazy people. Crazy talented
the
people.
And even
Gene Grillo.
Even Oderkirk was just amazing.
What was an incredible labor of love that people were kind enough to pay us for. And the proof, as they say, is in the pudding, because children who are now watching it at 10, 12 years old on different platforms,
yeah,
it is utterly timeless. It
yeah,
holds
you,
up so well.
You're right. And it's funny, too, because that's why I thought about cartoons. It's like, you know, that's the gift. We you know,
yes,
older people like us, we can't watch something over and over again, but then it recycles,
yeah,
you know?
You're right,
so
Jeff.
Why make new shows? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just look at Bugs Bunny and
well,
Daffy Duck.
Well, that's the thing, I think what it proves is that there is a lot of stuff that comes in between, but good stuff sticks around. That's
yeah,
why Looney Tunes is relative.
Good stuff sticks around.
Animaniacs.
60 years later.
Oh, Judy, well, you came and you baked me some cookies. Well, what we have is beautiful, and you can't destroy it.
Specifically for Jimmy, I mean, you said you're hanging out with somebody, Jeff, for 6 months,
mm-hmm,
and then they find out that you're Sheen.
Yeah.
What do they ask you to do? What are they like? How does the relationship? How does their face change? Like, what happens in that relationship?
Like, no way. It depends on if they're fans or not. Like,
yeah.
Like I remember a friend of mine. He's a comedian sitting out there, Pedro Leos. And we were doing a show, and I didn't want to do the show because it was a little small bar. So I was sitting at the bar, mm-hmm, and the bartender goes, "You look familiar. Can I do stand up too?" So mm-hmm, I go, "Oh, okay, I know you are, and cool." And then so we started talking, and I told her that, you know, and that she goes, "No way!" And then she called her friends over, and it was like yeah, a big deal. Like
when you first came in, that and I worked with you for the first time as Jimmy and Sheen, I in my head, I expected Sheen to be someone else, sound different, cadence different, pacing different, voice different. And then when you started talking, I was like in shock because I was like, this wasn't what I expected.
And it's great.
It was so funny to me. And it was so obvious why John cast you in it, because it wasn't what he'd expecting. And this is just another thing about voiceover. When you go into audition and you get your copy and you're like, how am I going to voice this character? Sometimes the writers aren't sure what they want either.
Yeah.
I mean, what he had lined up was Japanese or
Chinese. He was supposed to be Chinese.
Guy?
Asian character?
Sorry, a fat Asian kid. Yeah. It turned out to be a skinny Mexican kid.
And they just didn't know why it wasn't flying for John, who was casting it. And then it was absolutely brilliant.
It was
so funny.
Beautifully.
Oh, yeah. And the directors make the biggest difference on the planet. I mean,
right? Because, like, Jenny McSwain.
Yeah, like we'll do like they'll make a video game of it. They'll schedule us from like 2 to 6.
Right.
And then, like, I'll go in there, and it's like 18 lines.
You're done.
And I'm like, so she starts, like, telling me what to do, and I'm like, let me do it 3 times each time, and then you stop me if I do something wrong.
Yeah.
And they never stop me. Yeah. They go, okay, you're done. I'm at 2:30.
And they don't know the characters like we do. We had been doing, you know, many tens and 20 and 30, 40
episodes. Well, you mentioned Jenny
McSwain.
Jenny is a veteran director, and she's, I probably worked with her, I don't know, 15, 20 shows over
amazing.
The years. And,
amazing.
And she has the same sense of humor we do. She's a little twisted. And
twisted
she
and dry.
Totally gets it. And all we have to do, she just gives us a little direction and turns us loose, and she knows what she's doing.
She knows how to say it, and she knows how to get what she wants
that's
out of it.
That's so important because Jimmy Neutron had such a great sense of humor.
And like good shows, it didn't condescend. The scripts and the producers assumed that the audience would get it.
It was so
and
fun.
If they didn't, it didn't matter because it was still smart and it appealed to people like the finest animation on two levels. So that you can watch Looney Tunes from made in the 50s and 60s and enjoy them now.
Yeah.
And kids can watch Jimmy Neutron with their parents, and their parents don't want to shove a gun in their mouth because they're watching Teletubbies.
Right.
And we tried to do that. You know, we tried to make little older
absolutely. Jokes. It was all by design, and I and that's why people like it now. And it's not the thing is it's not a surprise. It just and it's a tried and true formula. But not everybody has the stars don't always align.
Yeah.
And it also takes a lot of guts for a studio to say we're going to spend the money. It's not a cheap show. We're going to spend the money to do that.
I mean,
and we're
going to
write jokes
first,
that little kids may not get.
Absolutely.
For CGI.
First CGI show.
Yeah.
You know, people forget that.
It takes a lot of guts and money.
It was anybody's CGI.
Yeah, it was a good move, though, because they already had made most of the CGI for the movie. Mm-hmm. So now they just transferred it, and all the backgrounds.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We still
got to
make some of them, but.
It is a smart show. And there were a lot of, we get the scripts. This was back in the day when they bring the scripts to your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'd have the scripts delivered to the house, and we'd read them the night before. And Jimmy, definitely, I had to read them the night before.
You read them.
I had to because he had big words.
I
was a pre-med at UCLA. Like, I decided not to go to med school.
So you were fine.
I knew them. I knew the words. I could look them up if I didn't know them. But it was kind of fun for me. And when they say, well, what did you do with your pre-med training? I recorded Jimmy Neutron.
Do the noodle casserole.
I'm a ratatouille.
Trend it on a planet.
What you gonna do?
Change your name to Larry.
Rub bacon on the queen.
And all the perfect sex on Planet Z.
Do you remember how you got involved with Jimmy Neutron? What was it like? When did you know you got the job? And then we'll talk about when did you guys first work together?
My agent, you know, they just send you auditions here or there. You never know what they are. So I went over to, I think, Bell Sound in Hollywood, and they were there was a sign-in sheet. And, you know, I saw Pammy Adler and E.G. and Nancy Cartwright and Chris Kavanaugh, everybody, you know, who auditions for this stuff. And I thought, oh, okay, texture. Yeah. How am I going to compete with... But texture in voiceover is when you have this in your voice. It's like a gravel. Well, I don't have gravel. So I was like... And I had already been training with Charlie Adler and Chris Zimmerman and Sue Blue to work on little boy voices because I felt a little uncomfortable, honestly, doing little boy voices. Because most of my stuff was in little girl voices.
Yeah.
Which is, this is actually how I spoke before I went into training and got it down here.
Yeah.
You could ask Rob. When we first met, this is how I talked all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And so I thought, how am I going to audition for that? So I did my little boy with no gravel in it. So John Davis liked it, and I was grateful. And so we did the little, it was just interstitial. It's like how The Simpsons started, you know?
Well,
it was like a 10-minute little nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent it to us on a VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that is really cute.
Yeah.
And so we did a few more. And you never know. Yep. And then they said, okay, we're going to do a feature.
Right.
Yay! Okay, now we're going to do a series. Yay! Yeah. Now we're going to do video games. Yay! Yeah.
So now it's going to air for 10 years.
Yay! Oh,
how's it going, Jim?
Really great, Carl. Oh, wait, here's the problem.
Jimmy, is baseball really America's pastime?
Yeah, I guess so, Carl.
Why not air guitar?
Go figure.
Or pickup sticks?
I don't know.
You know, making spit bubbles is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Have you been messing with the cloning machine again?
No, not me. Nuh-uh. You got the wrong guys.
It's that same thing. I mean, I went and auditioned. I think I was at Wood Holly, if I'm not mistaken. It was someplace in Hollywood.
Is that in Hollywood?
Yeah, it's on Seward, just off.
Okay,
of
that's what it was.
Boulevard.
It was Wood Holly.
So I went and auditioned, and the same thing. And I had worked with Steve. I don't know if I worked with Steve before or after on all these thumb tannic and thumb worms mm-hmm. and bat mm-hmm, thumb. Mm-hmm. Was
yeah.
it before? And so they called me in to read, and they said, we got this guy, Carl, and I frankly stole the voice I used on a show called Goof Troop.
PJ, yeah.
Yeah, PJ, who's just a kind of bigger, fatter
Carl.
This guy. And yeah. So, a couple of callbacks later, same thing with Debbie. It was just this sort of
everybody's
succession
there.
Of really great opportunities, and man, you just never, ever know. And we know that's true because we've all been around a while now. And
yeah.
Debbie mentioned Nancy. We all know Nancy. And I remember having Nancy and I were with the same agency for years. We're the same age. And we met, I think, working on...
She's 82.
Rugrats.
No? It was like, yeah, it was no. We were doing ADR in a movie. We like Endless Love or something nah, like that was, yeah. you know, the yeah. mm-hmm. opportunity with Franco Zeffirelli, you know, and mm-hmm. the definitive Romeo and Juliet, Jesus of Nazareth, incredible director. And we were working on doing ADR background voices and stuff for Endless Love. And I remember having lunch with Nancy at in Toluca Lake. There used to be a Marie Callender's on right across from
now
Bob's Big
bank.
Boy. Yeah.
yeah.
And we had one of those
Got
days we were having lunch, and what are you doing? And, well, I don't know. I'm working on these interstitials for the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah, the
and
Simpsons.
You never know what's going to happen. So
You never know. And it became The Simpsons.
Right.
That's
so
crazy.
It's the same thing with Jimmy Neutron. It's just
and it's
something
so different with Jimmy Neutron because first it's going to be these little interstitials. Now we're making a feature. That's quite a jump. Yeah. That is quite, you know, because it was a different way to do what ultimately would be a show. And I know we talked to John.
But
that's how they did it.
Yeah. And it was featured then.
And Barnyard too.
Yeah.
My audition with Jimmy Neutron was like, because like back when I was a kid, I was terrible at auditions. Now I'm pretty good. You know, if I can get the right.
You
niche.
Weren't really an actor so much as a stand-up.
I didn't.
I mean, you could barely speak English.
Yeah,
honestly.
Right. Hello, I want to. Yeah. Kind of like Andy Kaufman, I had the Jimmy Neutron audition at 1:30, and then I had another audition for a sketch show that was going to air on Fox. I was just doing it just to please the agents. I wasn't even thinking about it.
No kidding.
And I was just
really
so focused on my characters when I was going for that sketch show.
Yeah.
That I just went in there and just, you know, I didn't have no nervousness. I didn't have no nervousness. I didn't have no.
I love I was just stories like that.
Thinking that's... about my sketch show.
Yeah.
Because that's what sells tickets.
And you never know. And you never. And then and it becomes dude, Jimmy Neutron.
That sketch show didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting checks from Jimmy Neutron.
Dear Jimmy, how are you? What's up? What's new? Look, our dad won't listen, but it's you I've been missing. And it makes me sad and blue, fool. Please respond. Your friend, Carl.
Guys, what were the sessions like? What were they like?
Oh, they were nuts.
Parties.
Crazy. Yeah,
me and
I used to sit in this back corner. You can't see, obviously. Yep. Back, let's see, if you walk in back right corner, if you're listening to this.
Left.
And she was sitting next to me, to the right, to the left, to the left.
You were there.
You were in the back.
Yeah, I was there.
Carolyn was here.
And I was in the front, and you looked in the back of my head.
Right there, yeah.
Sometimes they have to shut our phones off to shut us up.
Yeah, we would get rubber bands with paper clips.
No.
Yeah,
hit me in the back of the head, yeah.
But then they put the partition against the wall. So what we had to do is we had to lightly arc it over. Yeah, like arc it over. We were a bunch of kids.
Oh, it's just so much fun, and it never is not fun. It's like Jeff said, and it's the truth. We would essentially do it. It's something I'd be doing for free.
I would
be performing anyway, whether I'd be singing at my church or performing in a local stand up improv group. I would be doing it anyway. But to do it with people who are world class actors. And
get paid.
You can get paid. It's a gift.
I mean, Rob, you're so amazing. I mean, on Planet Sheen,
Yeah.
He did. You did Dobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Dobby's that was mom. Carl with four eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it didn't matter. But you did Dobby, and you did. And you did Dobby's mom.
Oh,
and then you did Dobby's dad. So I walk in, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be there at 10:15. We got to pick up Rob. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. So I walk in, and Rob's sitting there talking to himself.
He's I do that brilliant in my car at that, all the time, by the anyway. Way. He's one of those actors. Like, sometimes I'll get a few characters, and I'll say, you know, let me just run through this one character
right.
and then go back. I have a couple shows where I can bounce them around and do the conversation with myself, but this guy to my left, the Rob,
thank you.
The Robster, the Mr. Paulson,
the legend,
he is
thanks,
he's a chameleon, a little bit of a freak. I'm sorry,
no,
you're just,
honey, you
it's
got
amazing
that right.
to watch you.
Thank you. No,
it is
very.
It,
kind,
I was like,
I mean, he played himself, his mother, his father.
Yeah, man, what kind of junk is that guy on? What a mess!
Yeah, right. I want some of that.
He looks like a normal, average white guy. What the hell is his problem?
He looks like he owns Transamerica.
Yeah, who are you buying your junk from? Man, I gotta hook you up with my people.
Yeah, right here, roll some in this.
Yeah, right. Oh, no, it's and that's utterly a joke. I have no chemical inducement so far
that we've heard of.
No, but thank you. That's very kind, you guys. I appreciate that. But it's like, you know, Hector, we've had the pleasure of chatting before. And I think that the show is, having done this a lot now, the show is really only as good as the people with whom you surround yourself.
I agree.
You know, I don't care if you're a golfer or an actor or stand-up or you like working on cars. If you're working with people who know more than you do and are better at it, you get better.
Don't worry, Sheen. I'm just going to stimulate your cerebral cortex.
Stipulate away, Jimmy. I trust you completely.
You do?
Three amigops, Jimmy.
Three amigops. Well, Sheen, how do you feel?
Pretty stupid.
Oh, well, can't say we didn't try.
No, I mean, pretty stupid of you to forget the binomial expansion of a negative prime number yields its equal and opposite trigonometric value.
He spoke math! He spoke math! It worked! Sheen, you're a genius!
Brain pulsing? Thoughts racing? I am a genius! Woo-hoo! Go, Sheen!
Here we have Jimmy Neutron that started out as a feature,
mm-hmm.
got nominated for an Oscar, made, I don't know, $100 million.
Yeah, $110
million. Right.
Off of like a $30 million budget. Right. Like just,
it was great.
Yeah,
it did
yeah.
everything it was supposed to do. It ticked all the boxes. This is show business.
And it would do it again if it got picked up.
It made money. What? It had a two-series spinoff. It was unabashedly successful.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Then we have another song, a movie that comes out called, oh, by the way, and all of the talent, all of the leads mm-hmm. are non-celebrity talent.
Yes,
now, key word
true.
There.
That's
Martin
true.
Short and
Patrick Stewart were in the
in
film.
It. Okay, but very small parts.
We didn't even see mm-hmm. them. I didn't see
they
them.
They had
once.
A little, mm-hmm. but they got name credit, but they weren't the bulk of the movie.
Right. They right. didn't drive the story. Okay, great, no problem. We mm-hmm. all reap the benefits of having the series and all of that. Okay, but then there's another movie that I worked on with those folks called The Ant Bully
yeah.
that had half a dozen Oscars.
Oh, yeah, Julia Roberts and
Nicolas
Cage.
Julia Roberts,
Cage.
Meryl
yeah.
Streep, Nicolas mm-hmm. Cage, Alan Cumming, great yeah. actors.
Yeah.
Right in the tank.
Yeah, yeah
didn't
I mean,
make no money.
Gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the perfect example of the fact that just because there are movie stars in it isn't going to put butts in the seats, and it's about the story, it's about the relationship.
Yeah.
And the voice acting.
And camaraderie.
And the characters working like Debbie said, or like you said, when it meshes perfectly, and you can watch Ant Bully all day long, and it's not going to make a dime. And Jimmy Neutron did.
With voiceover, you don't get the facial mugging.
Yeah.
You don't get the pauses.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the close-ups or the mic distance of you don't get the on-stage luxuries.
So yeah, you can't look
everything
at something and know how you're supposed to
face.
Feel.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're right, Deb.
It's a different kind of acting.
Yeah, it's different. I'm a huge fan of movie stars and people that have inspired me. But it is, like Deb says, it's a little bit different. But I love it when I'm in a circumstance surrounded by people like Jeff and Deb mm-hmm. and Welker and just all these really gifted people. And then celebrity talent comes in and these folks open their mouths. Mm-hmm. And then the celebrity looks at everybody like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And
they'll say that. They'll say
that.
Yeah, they're going, this girl, Tress McNeil, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't hire you to do that, and they sit there with their mouths open because Billy West will do half a dozen voices and they're all different and they're all beautifully fleshed out and
they do their one thing.
Sings and
I know a lot of stand-up comedians, very good ones, very, very good ones, guys that you would know on TV, mm-hmm. famous, that couldn't ever go into an improv.
Yeah.
like you know, Improv Olympics. Yeah, they couldn't do it. They have to stick to their script.
Different skill set.
People now that I experience, and Debbie teaches, so I think she does too, is that there are a lot of folks now who are coming to Hollywood or want to come to Hollywood specifically to be voice actors.
Oh, yeah.
They want to be voice actors. I came to L.A. for the ostensible reason of doing live action like everybody else did when I came here in 1970.
In the
1840.
I love the commitment to the bit that Jeff has. I love the commitment to the bit.
He parked his wagon, he got off.
That's right. And people don't know this, but I was the entertainment at the Last Supper. I was a stand-up. I went by Shecky of Arimathea. Jesus, what a party, too. And
Hi, I'm Rob Paulson for Metamucil.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm Rob Paulson for WARP.
I'm Rob Paulson. I'm Rob Paulson. I'm a regular guy, and I'm regular because I drink
Hey, Goldilocks, what's the big idea? You and your bingo buddy taking all the rice pudding from the buffet.
It says seniors eat dessert free.
You're supposed to buy an entree first.
We did. I had a hamburger in here yesterday. Oh, my spleen.
You have to remember, like Libby and like...
Absolutely. Oh, everybody, yeah.
That's what the cool part was, is because it was us, but it was their, like, interjections.
Great ensemble.
That kind of like, you're riding the bike and you're up the hill and then they push you over the hill.
That's
a great
analogy.
And
we got
to be in the same booth to get that chemistry
That's
going.
Awesome. That's always the best way. It's unfortunate that it doesn't happen as much anymore, but when you're able to be with all the actors, it's way, way better.
I hate that, man. When I'm by myself.
I like to hear the funny happen. And that's what animation's about, a good session where you really can find the funny based on how you bounce off each other.
Oh, and I used to go home just exhausted from laughing.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, man.
It was a great, it really,
you
truly
never know
was.
Where it's going to happen.
What did Jesus do to you? What did Jesus do to you?
Oh, I said, Jesus helps me trick people. I don't think people understand, but I can call Jesus and he'll help me trick you.
Carl.
He will.
Carl.
Yeah, no, he
will. Make Crystal fall down.
He said, hey, call up the drugstore and ask him if he has Sir Walter Raleigh in a can. And then say, let him out. Or call the bowling alley and ask him if he's got 16-pound balls. And say, how do you walk? If I'm offending your religious sensibilities, I do apologize. It's a special place in hell for me.
We were just nuts. We just would just go off, huh?
Yeah.
The funnest part, to tell the truth, was when they were like changing dats.
Yeah.
Like they back up on a DAT tape.
Yeah.
You know, because they have the computer that records it and they have the tape. So that he would have to run all the way upstairs to load it. And we would have like, 10 minutes to
mess around.
But the director knows that the actors need that.
Yeah.
That time to look at the script and to get off each other. And sometimes we'll be recording and just, like when Mark DiCarlo was here.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
And him.
Funny guy.
These two stand-up hilarious.
Mark and Jeff are both really successful stand-ups. And so
were they really reading the script? Because I didn't see those words anywhere on the page.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy's very straight. I read the page, you know, with a little
both
fluff
really
here and there.
Solid
but
improv guy. And that's another thing.
So
is
funny.
That, man, if you have those skills, Jeffrey has it naturally. Mm-hmm. And I think Mark, I've
Not
known
took
Mark
years
a long
to
time.
Learn me.
But Jeffrey has, you know, Jeff and Mark are both really strong improvisers.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have great scripts, you're inspired to try cool stuff. And then you know that the people that you're trying it with can keep up.
Yeah.
Well, and they let us, remember?
Yeah, and they allow you to.
Was it called the Crazy Pass?
Crazy Pass.
Oh, Jenny knew she had it,
mm-hmm.
they would let us do like another take of whatever.
Just do
we
one and you can just mess around.
I mean, going off of the Crazy Pass, would they ever change any of the script? Would they ever go like, let's keep, or we'll bring that back, or that was so funny?
Sure.
If Jeff said
something that worked in the context of the show that was better than
that.
And that's another thing. It's a collaborative effort. And if the writers are. We're all proud of the work we do,
mm-hmm.
but we also know that a high tide raises all boats. And if Jeff comes up with a line based on what Debbie says that makes the script funnier and the bit funnier, it's in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll come like the next week before we record the new episode, and they'll mm-hmm. be like, pick us because what we said. And they kind of fix it.
They wrote it in
because
we were all yes and peoples. I mean, there weren't a bunch of knowers.
It's funny too because like Jed, like he would say like
Jed was a writer too.
He's a great writer.
He said
because they work with writers, with actors, and mm-hmm. actors get offended with like, they're like, don't give me my line.
Oh, yeah. No line reads.
And I'm like, he goes, can you do it like this? I'm like, hey, anytime you want me to do it,
let me know.
Yeah, I'll do it exactly.
Same here.
Matter of fact, record it, I'll put it under my headphones
on
one side.
Voice actors do not get offended by line reads.
No,
if the director can't get us to say it.
Yeah.
Pretty egoless people in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we can be replaced.
Yeah, and also, hey, man. if Mark DiCarlo gives me a line or Jeff says, hey, Rob, try this, I know that the information I'm getting is coming from somebody who knows what they're talking about. So I will try it and give it, and then say, hey, man, Jeff told me to try this. Can we try this? He's got a great idea. All of that helps.
And it works.
And so every show that in which I've ever been involved that has ended up being, you know, successful.
Mm-hmm. Like all has, of them.
Has this exact
this formula
vibe.
Yeah.
And it is unfailing.
Don't worry, Carl. By using my hypnobeam, I can totally erase your fear of spiders.
I don't know, Jimmy.
Engage!
My brain itches.
Let's see if it worked.
I would love to hear from you guys any kind of messages to the fans. And the second thing is, if you got a chance to do Jimmy Neutron again and do Sheen and do Carl again, what would you want to do in it? What would you like to see Jimmy do?
You know what? It worked before. And it worked with the current day and time before, so we'd probably just bring him into the current day and time now.
Get our
original. And it would all work. I mean, things that Jimmy Neutron invented haven't still been invented.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still not bubble travel, right? We wish for a hovercraft on the 405 freeway, right. But there's not a hovercraft, right? Right.
Yeah.
So we're still in the works.
Get our same director, Jenny, get the same
get
writers.
Get Jenny, yep.
You know what I'm saying? The same cast.
And that's what's
we're
great
all still
it.
Here.
Yeah, everybody still does it, and we're all working, and we all still sound the same. It's cool.
Still
we
here.
Just had lunch the other day, me and Carolyn Lawrence, John Davis. We still connect. We still hang. Jeff came over last week.
She got mad because I ran over her roses with the lawnmower.
And then Carl, Rob brings his llama over, and I didn't have a mower.
He fertilizes.
His llama swims in my pool.
Yep.
That's so nice. Rob, what would you want to, is there anything that you'd like to see Carl do that he hasn't had a chance to do yet?
Yeah,
lose weight?
Well, I do, and I will lose weight in the following way. I have perfected my pole dancing technique, and I think that Carl should be a pole dancer at Jumbo's Clown Room in Hollywood, and so thereby I will, you know, get my six-pack all bad, because I'm a bad self person. And for my fans,
Carl.
I want Carl is actually an acronym, and this is directed toward the fans. For you fans, Carl stands for cool and absolute real love. So that's what I want you to think of when you say Carl, that cool, absolute real love who's a pole dancer.
I thought you were a junior.
Okay, I'm a junior pole dancer, but someday I'll get my gold star and I'll be a professional pole dancer.
Carl, oh can you gosh. Hold this for a minute?
Sure. Ow. Wow.
I'm out of ones.
Sorry.
You know what I love about Carl is that he's the sweetest guy, so he can be the dirty. He can say the most outrageous.
He doesn't even know what he's saying. You know, that's what's so great. He's got a sense of ingenuousness. So when he says, I have a crush on Jimmy's mom. And matter of fact, there was an episode in which she said, I think it was,
I think
it was Jimmy who says, Carl, are you in love with my mom? And he goes, no. Yes. I mean, he just used to do it. No. God, they got me. Yes. And, you know, like, so if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. There.
Jeff, what would you say to the fans? And if you could play Sheen again, what do you want him to do? Are we bringing him back to the planet? Are we bringing him back to Earth? What are we doing?
I think that'd be awesome. If you bring him back, what you do is you do the episode, and the first episode, he crashes with the thing on him. Where were you at?
That's right. It right there.
I would want to find the way to bring it back to the where it was. It was perfect.
The whole project was just an absolute gas, and we would do it again.
Nickelodeon was great.
Yeah. They were terrific to us.
Megan lives moved up north. She'd moved back down here in a heartbeat.
Oh my God.
Yep. We're all here.
Well, I can feel the love, guys. Thank you so much for coming in. That was a great conversation about VO. That was a great conversation about Jimmy Neutron. You know, you guys had great insight for people
pole
listening.
Pole dancing.
Pole dancing was another great thing that we touched in there.
That's great. He threw that in there. Bro.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. That was great.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching and listening. We really appreciate
so much. Yeah, so got a blast, everybody.
Well, there you have it, guys. That was our conversation with the cast of Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius. Huge thanks to Debbie Derryberry, Jeff Garcia, Rob Paulsen. It is so clear that these guys love these characters. They love the show, and they love the fans. So huge thanks to them for coming in. That was fantastic. You're not going to want to miss an episode of the podcast, so please subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Visit us online at nickanimationpodcast.com for more episodes and tons of cool bonus content like some behind-the-scenes photos of me and the cast. Thanks to the awesome crew who puts this podcast together. This podcast is produced by Jonathan Highlander, Dana Vasquez Eberhardt, Tony Gutierrez, Jamie Goss, and Andrew Huebner. Original music by Useful Creatures. This week's episode edited by Jonathan Highlander and Josh Caldwell. Our social media team is Narbe Manassians, Sammy Armiger, and David Watson. And Manny Grujalva is our engineer, and he's got his weekend glasses on, you guys, so watch out! Until next time, thanks for listening to the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast, and keep watching cartoons.